Well, shall we pray to begin? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of us as brothers and sisters following you, your Son, Jesus Christ, as we walk for 40 days in Lent, as we come to Easter, his resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for our family. As we walk together, please continue to grow all of us in our churches, in this area, in our community, in this city, in the other areas, northern Minnesota, especially during this weather, that people are safe. We thank you, Lord, for the good food that you've given so many people this evening at our church with each other. And we pray for those who do not have food, that we may bless them with all of our gifts to others who need it. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
First, I want to say thank you to everybody here. This evening was crazy. I talked to Pastor Steve many weeks before, a couple months, whenever the starting with the evangel in ecumenical began, and knowing that what my job was, it was very slow and a lot less because of what happened to me, of my stroke. And so it was a really weird night where we didn't, last year I know we did the Vespers, it's a little more music, and tonight just because of where I'm at, and I talked to the pastor that to have a little less with the talk, a little intercessions, and just the Our Father. So very something very simple, and it's so good to have everybody here, and know you're always welcome here at St. Thomas Aquinas as well, as we are brothers and sisters in our faith. I also want to say thank you. I don't know how many people working in our areas, but I've always said thank you to my doctors, my nurses, people that are PTOT speech that really helped my life, and I thank you. I also thank everybody here as brothers and sisters that are in town, and also those from other churches. It's been unreal, and your prayers for everybody was unbelievable. And again, I talked with Pastor Steve about eventually I'll finally have some time to write a little note to say thank you in your bulletins, but I'm so grateful for all of your prayers, especially coming back, not just our church, but in town. So many people at different games, or when I got groceries, getting medicine, like a normal adult, all the people that said, you know, we pray for you, and that's unreal. That shows a family in northern Minnesota and International Falls in our area, and I've only been here about a year and a half, and I absolutely love it. This is a great family in northern Minnesota, God's country, with the nature that he's given us, our faith, and all those that we can help, especially in Lent. What a good time with each other. So I want to share a little bit about my stroke, and then a little more into what we were talking ecumenical this time in Lent. Of our this time, kind of our calendars, our time. What do we do with our areas in our own life? How do we live our lives with Jesus Christ, who is our Savior? Some of you had heard this. You'll probably take a nap right now. That's just fine. You've heard me probably every day for 8 months now. But others haven't heard it, and they can share a little bit about what happened. So it was August 8th, 2015. It was a great start of the day with the triathlon, with Bacchus out in the lake. Just a perfect day. Some of our kids, I know, and maybe other yours, or other people in your parishioners, did the race. And it was an awesome day. It was perfect weather, like 70, 75, no wind, perfect for swimming, biking, and running. And it was awesome. And then the rest of the day got really weird and crazy. So I had a little, I went to the hospital, and I said, basically I couldn't say anything because the left side of my brain was having something going on with the stroke. There was a bleed in my vein in my brain. And so when I walked in, I drove over, and I was wearing my shorts and my t-shirt, so I reeked, I'm sure. And I came in, and I just said medicine mass in 5, because it was a Saturday. Where at our church, we have here at St. Thomas, mass is at 5 on Saturday afternoon. And I needed medicine because something was going off. And they basically said, well, Father Ben, you need to go to the ER. You need to get in a chair here. We got to do some tests. And all I said, medicine, mass, 5. And I was really always, my head really hurt. But I was just asking people, I wish somebody would tell me what's going on. And I couldn't say the words. But I was really asking again, what is going on? I don't know what's going on. But I'd always say, medicine, mass, 5. That's what I needed. And then the doctor said to me, Father Ben, it looked like you had a stroke. I said, medicine, mass, 5. That's all I wanted. I'm out of here. I'm going to work. And he showed a picture. And that's where he said, no, Father Ben, a stroke. And he showed a picture with the bleed in the brain, with the stroke. With many of you have probably have family members or friends or families or older elders, younger people that have had that type of the stroke. And so they got me in the helicopter. It was my first time in my life. I got a helicopter to Duluth. And in a lot of story in a little, I had a surgery that evening that they, Dr. Watson was his name. Is that not the coolest name you'd fear for a doctor that's doing your surgery for your brain? Dr. Watson. And he looked like a kind of a brilliant and also nerdy and hilarious. And just his looks, it was Dr. Watson. He was the one that saved my life next to God. Unreal. Again, a guy that I will always thank God for him. I actually got a picture of him after several months, and I said to him, after all my questions, it was my last time with him, then he actually moved to New Mexico to his new hospital. He left from St. Luke in Duluth, went south, and I said, Doctor, I'm a little I've never done this. I'm kind of a guy, and I don't do these the pictures kind of stuff. Could I get a picture with you? And I started laughing, and he's dying, and he's saying, and this is kind of, he kind of had that look like, so do you mean, do you want to take a picture of me, or do you want to take the picture of both, or, oh, I'll get the girl. That's what he said. I'll get my girl for the nurse that was helping him. Came back in the room, gave a picture of both of us, and the nurse, like most great, beautiful ladies, they said, that's not quite right. That's not, we got to get a different picture here. He got a second one. He didn't like it again. And then Dr. Watson took my phone, my iPhone, and I watched like the hands from God holding my iPhone. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm like, are you like doing surgery for my iPhone? Like, no, you got a little smudge on your you have a little smudge on your phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the doctor that did my life, and there he has my iPhone. So Dr. Watson, again, another area of the many gifts God gives us, and he gave the surgery. And then I was there for, I was 12 days in St. Luke's, 5 days were in the ICU, then 7 levels on the next floor for just kind of getting new and living, kind of being born again. And then I went 28 days for Miller Dwan in Duluth. And after 40 days, that's on God himself, 40 days, I was out of the hospital. And I was back into the hospital just doing the OTPT speech. And then after about 105 days it was, I was up here November 20th, 2015, working again. And the first thing I went to was the first basketball game, an athlete game, to start my time to work here again. And so that's kind of what happened. Another really cool, some areas just of things I went through. There's kind of a 3 steps through the speech for your brain when you have a stroke like that. The first is you're in the hospital. And again, if you have families or friends that you know this about, you've heard it already. But you're in the hospital, you have an OT, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and then speech to get people back to their bodies, what they need at their house, using a phone, using a bathroom, just easy things to eat. In the OT, occupational therapy, and then physical therapy, your body, and especially with many people with strokes that have had hurt with the arm or the leg or one side of the body, which praise God for me, I didn't really have much, which is unreal. And then the speech, and those are the people that are learning you talk. And just talking again. For me, my part of the brain was all language, speaking, communication, and reading, that I had nothing. So I started as a little baby. And I was literally like a little baby, talking the words. As part of that, when I was in the helicopter, I knew I was praying. As soon as the doctor said, it was kind of scary. My first, it was 5 or 10 seconds when the doctor showed me the picture of my brain. And he said, Father Brandon, you'll be just fine. I'm like, okay. And that was it. And I just prayed. And I couldn't even use words in my brain. But just in my heart, God is there. And if whatever this is, God is the best. And he's got it. And so when I woke up after a couple days, I don't remember all the days. But I do remember when my first prayer with my words was God and G. and I didn't know the word Jesus. But in my heart, I can't say what it was. It was unreal. I felt like God was holding me. I can't even say what it is. It's unbelievable. And that's God. God is number one. God loves all of us. It's unbelievable. After 8 weeks, I was doing masses back here with another priest and deacon to help me do the words. And that wasn't me either. That's God. He does unreal things to all of our lives. And praise God, because again, your family up here, our church, your churches, our people that don't go to church are praying for me. There are people praying for me in Africa, my friends, or in South America. I mean, people, and you all know that. You guys all, we get the chain around about praying for people. And that works. That really works. We pray for each other. And I praise God that I am working. I've been doing it since November 20th. My day is a little odd because in the middle of the day I need to sleep, have rest for the brain. It usually takes, they say, 1 to 2 years to be normal as a person. And so I continue. So that's why tonight it's a little easier than getting the Vespers or more music. And so that's why it's a little easier for me, and I thank you. And again, I'm sorry. A part of our soup dinner, I know it's awesome and beautiful, and I just couldn't help with that. That's just some things I just have to get. The basic stuff right now, the mass, funerals, weddings, baptisms, just the normal basic things as a little baby. I'm kind of a baby as a priest again, but other things as well. And so again, thank you for being here this evening together. I want to share a few different things about Lent. In this time of our prayer, as we walk the 40 days together in different churches. And I want to first start with the quote-unquote first world problems. Have you heard that on, remember the Twitter? Do you guys know Twitter? I don't even know. It's like a Twitter tweety something that all the kids are doing media. It's like the hashtag first world problems. Have you heard that? Everybody does? I don't even know what it is. But like today is something. It was kind of a crazy day, and it was kind of a crabby day, or complaining of the day today. We have all this snow, all this slush, all these things on the road. It's disgusting. That's a quote-unquote first world problem. We have vehicles, we have food, we have a building where we're in hot house. We have water that's hot that we can shower. We have food and we have groceries. That's quote-unquote first world problems. Like, most people in the world don't have any of that. They're not first world, quote-unquote first world problems. I want to share with you a couple I did. I did one in the hospital when I was in the ICU. I saw the menu and all I pointed at was bacon. That's the best food there is. God take a pig and made bacon. That's God. Is that not God? Bacon from a pig? That's unreal. And I pointed to bacon. I couldn't even say the words. And what brought out in the plate, they put it in front of me on my tray. And I looked at this quote-unquote bacon that was a pile of dog food. Okay? And I looked at it and I said, that is not bacon. And I'm not eating that. That is, quote unquote, a first world problem. I was just alive from surgery from a doctor that saved my life. I'm sitting in a hospital, and no parts in the world where they have medicine to do that. Okay, so that's complaining. First world problem. The second was, after I was working, this happened a couple weeks. You guys probably do a little bit in International Falls. Again, I always ask the kids, you know what internet is? That our kids know internet, right? Ours in the church, our office shut off for internet. And we had to get our bulletin out, I had emails, and I was so mad because of internet. And we can't do it, I'm going crazy. That is, quote unquote, a first world problem, right? Part of the world, they don't have internet. They don't have an internet, they don't have a computer, they don't have an iPhone. And I was crazy. And now we want to think about in our hearts in Lent, how do we do this without complaining our life? Because our life is crazy in the United States. The people that are working is nuts. Like Italy or South America, where people are actually taking a nap in the middle of the day and they're working like 20 hours, 30 hours a week, and that's their job. And we are doing, in a great way, we're doing 70 hours, 80 hours, 100 hours, and we'll never nap. We'll work till we're dead. That's the country. And in some ways, it's awesome. In other ways, we need to settle down and think about what is the rest of the world. What are people that we can pray or help and not do the complaining, not do the crazy things? Like, for instance, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, one of the first things they said is, we want more food. God took them from Moses out of Egypt as slaves for 400 years, walked them out to the desert, walked around, and they were complaining about eating food. Like, did you guys not walk through the sea? That God is like walking through the whole sea, that, and you're walking through safe, and you're being complaining of God? Settle down. It's God. I mean, go back to normal. I mean, follow God. And that's with Lent there too. Who is walking us in Lent? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one that he went out for 40 days with nothing for food, with praying with the Father by himself before he went to the evil. And Jesus is following us this Lent. So what are the ways we can get out of our complaining, our crabbiness, to bring it to Jesus? Because his family is not just us in the United States or Northern Minnesota or International Falls. It's the whole world. And a lot of us don't have food or possessions or houses. And a Lent is a great time to help with people of all of that. As we, kind of in our Catholic histories, you probably heard it, we always call the time, talent, and treasure. We really talk about that during Lent. Time, talent, and treasure. Our time, what are we giving away of our time? How are we helping somebody else with my time? I'm putting my phone down and I'm going to help this person. Or I have a basketball I want to watch, but instead somebody's in the nursing home that needs help with somebody to talk to them. That's a time. Or our talent. What are our good things that we can help other people? Some people are great. Even art or gardening or walking with people or just, again, visiting them to talk with them. I know our church and yours sure is as well. We have some awesome people that are just going to nursing homes with their talent, where they will walk and listen and walk with people that don't have friends because they're in a nursing home or they're home by themselves. So time and our talent, and then our treasure. What are the gifts that God has given us? And you've heard in the Gospels about the woman that was older, elderly, and she only gave two coins in the treasure. And Jesus said, that is the most that gave away. The United States, many of us, no matter how much we have for money, it's not about the money, it's not what we have. How much do we give away? Because God gave us that. And this woman in the gospel put out two coins, and that's all she had. So what do we give what we have in our treasure to help the poor? I know in our area, and you as well, March as a food shelf in International Falls, our area. Huge part. Keep it up. I know all of us are doing that. It's a great time to help the food, to get that, and we get doubled with some of that. It's really sweet. We also do, they're called the rice bowl, the Operation Rice Bowl. We're just taking coins in this little bowl, and because 75% of the money goes to the people in the world that can't eat, and then 25% of it comes back to International Falls and Little Fork in that area for people that need help. And so think of that too as we continuing with Lent. And finally, I want to share a little bit about our buddy, you all know the name, Pope Francis. That our church is just starting a group, because we've had so many great times, our church, your churches, to help people in the nursing homes, the hospitals, the poor that don't have homes, to walk with each other. So our area is getting into a Pope Francis commission to talk about how can we walk together and talk with each other to work in our area, our community. Bacchus is a huge part, our churches together, to get people on the on our internet, on Facebook, and in that generation, which it's not me, I'm old, right? All our kids know that. They think I'm this old person now. It's pretty cool. And what we want to do is get the ideas out to help people more and more about our families. Use our time, our calendar, and just in some ways shut it off and talk with people that actually need it. With that, we're using a great verse, Isaiah 58:7. Sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked when you see them, and not turning your back on your own. I love that. I love that last part. Obviously, in the Bible, we hear in several different areas, giving away the bread so that people can be hungry, sheltering their homes, those that are oppressed, those that are homeless, those that don't have clothes, right in the area, our community of clothes, to help people. And I love what it says for us in churches, what Isaiah said, and not turning your back on your own. I love that. Our church, who in our own churches can't make it to Mass, or your church? They're by themselves. They're a widow or a widower. They're all by themselves in their house. Don't put our backs away from them. They were the wisdom that needs to get into our churches. And keep praying that one as well. Because how do we help them? How do we put our own back against somebody that's in our own church? We have to do that. And that's Jesus. Pope Francis. I love Pope Francis, as you've probably all seen him on the TV. How Pope Francis, which, unreal, he'll take his pocket and buy somebody else for lunch. He'll go out when he was all the Pope and the Cardinals, when he became the Pope, he grabbed his own clothes out of the hotel, grabbed himself and sat with them in the bus. Not the really richy TV that they were driving him through or the vehicle. He opened the door and walked out of his chauffeur and walked himself to see the poor. He's unreal to the whole world. And he's both with the help of the sick and the poor, and also the prayer. We'll never see it on the media. His prayer with Jesus Christ, his Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is part of his day, a huge part. And so for us, I know, as Catholics and the rest of our world that looks at this man on the TV, he's a great follower of Jesus Christ, is he not? He's unreal. And that's who, a person that can help all of us. Finally, a couple things I'd like for us to pray for each other, and I will do that kind of as leading just some intercessions in the Our Father. First, to continue to pray for all of our churches, to all of us. We all need, in every area, in whether it's business, education, our churches, we have less money, less families, less kids. That's northern Minnesota. I mean, we weren't 10,000 here in I Falls, now we're at 6,300. That's northern Minnesota. That's who it is with many cities. Virginia, Duluth. So we continue to need to pray for each other, to help each other. For our families, for our churches, for those that are helping. Our families that are coming to Jesus Christ, who loves us. And we want more people back to welcome them home. And some of those areas, we just got a marketing person that grew up through Assembly of God. She's now a Catholic, quote unquote. It's pretty sweet. And now she's doing different areas, because a lot of our people in different churches have great ideas that, for instance, our church doesn't. I told kind of at the Mass, the Bible. How many of our Catholic people need to get nailed by you guys? Because you read the Bible every day. And I'm trying to kick a few people to do that. We need to. And the part of us with the Bible is a really part time of the Mass, which I showed the people that were here. Most of our Mass is a few bunch of Bible. And I love it. But we can all think different areas to help each other. Like for us, we're not good. I talked to people on Saturday. We were doing a prayer. If you think about a Catholic church in northern Minnesota, people are like, they have a bubble around them that nobody else can sit by them on the pews. And I said, you're like the little cells in a balloon that the air, the hot air, always the electrical stuff, they don't touch each other because it's a balloon to get bigger. So in our church, it's like I can look around and nobody's close to anybody. How do other churches do it? You welcome people in. You sit by them. You're with them. Welcome here to this church. We need to do that. Our church has to do that. We want people at our family. Other areas, just to think the fun stuff. Like that's a big part our old bishop talked about. We can't do religious education and fun stuff. Like we get nailed with that, period. And we have to do both. And so now in our diocese, in the kind of the U.S. with our faith, we try to do both in faith formation. Because many of your churches are doing that. You did it way before us. And so to walk with each other and brothers and sisters, even if we're different churches, we're brothers and sisters. And we can learn and pray for each other in our churches. People with different, I think another idea is that getting that tree out both to different churches, not just your own church, but like you guys prayed for me when I was in the hospital, so how are we going to help pray to you and your church? How can we do that in today, in 2016, where we can do it on an email or a text? And how do we do that? That's a good thing to talk. A second one, to pray, I please, for all of you for our schools. In our church, we have teachers at St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Columban at every school we have in this part. So we have our little one, St. Thomas Aquinas, Elementary Falls, High School Falls, Little Fork, Big Falls, in Indus. And we have churches at this church in every place. And we have to pray again in that same what I just said. Small money, less kids, less families. We have to pray for each other. We have to. Every school. We can't have a fight. We can't have a fight to see who gets the most kids because then we get more money in the government or people. No, we have to pray. The one person in charge of our children is Jesus Christ. And we need to pray with each other to help all of our schools. Education, again, in our faith. Education, the teachers we have, and education, whether private, public, homeschool, the best teachers next to Jesus Christ, it's parents. We have to pray for the parents too. Where are you deciding to go to your kids with a school? Private, public, homeschool. And how do we help them? Because Jesus Christ is the one that went to the children. Let the children come to me. And he never said, give a check. He didn't say, do this and that. He followed the kids. And he said, and then he said to his disciples, you're rebuked because you're not doing well with the kids. That's kind of what I quote it. You could actually read the Bible in there. But he talked about how the disciples, if you don't look like a child, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's a big part for our good Lord. So our schools as well. I'd also pray for the poor, especially this area. It is. It's a poor area. Now, when we talk about the whole world, it's very, very poor. We do have people here as well in our own, and you all know that. That's why we're getting food right now. The March month. Different times for the dinners that we have in Bacchus, or different times where we're getting the clothes. To keep thinking and praying, how can we give away our stuff to give to those that need it the most? We keep praying. Finally, Easter's on the way. Last few days. Just, what is this, Wednesday? So what, we have 8 days, 7 days, or 40 days to keep walking with Jesus Christ. And to be with Him, our church, our families, because Easter's coming, and that's a big party. That's the best part. He shows His death that He gave for each and every one of us, and He rises from the dead and saves us with all of our sins, with all of our weird things, the things that, boom, I went from running a marathon or a triathlon, and then I have a surgery that I'm almost dead. That's how quick it is in our life. We're not perfect, none of us. But Jesus Christ is the one that saves us, period. I praise God, know of our prayers, and thank you so much again. A smaller night, a little simpler. But I just ask for that, to pray with each other as our brothers and sisters. This Lent is almost the end to Easter. After that, why don't we stand and we'll do some intercessions and we'll conclude with the Our Father.